Now, on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, Press Row welcomes former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee Jim Donnan to the show.
Coach, you talked about a couple of the freshman quarterbacks you had. Can you even tell us the range of emotions you feel as a coach and what you may have to go through on, all right, how do I address this kid? Is he nervous? Is he overconfident? I mean, you almost have to go through the entire Freudian psychology book when you're talking about a true freshman quarterback making his first start, right?
In a lot of ways, that's true, but I'm not trying to be argumentative. But if you're going to be doing that, you probably shouldn't have named it the quarterback. If he's good enough to be your guy, then you just train him like anybody else. You don't try to put diapers on him and all that.
Jim Donnan's weekly appearance on Press Row is powered by Kia of Chattanooga. Explore Kia of Chattanooga's new and pre-owned inventory at kiaofchattanooga.com and schedule a test drive or check out Kia of Chattanooga's showroom at 2136 Chapman Road.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show as we welcome you into our weekly fun. Happens every Thursday in the 4 o'clock hour, brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga at 2136 Chapman Road. Optimas, Cadenzas, Stingers, Sorrentos, Sportages, Sedonas, whatever you need, they've got them at 2136 Chapman Road again. Kia of Chattanooga, proud sponsor of Jim Donnan's weekly segment here, the College Football Hall of Fame coach. And Jim, how are you this week?
Doing good. Glad to be back with you. Had a few things happen last weekend that surprised me, but overall, just glad to be back and talk a little ball.
Well, let's get right to what everybody's been talking about all week. Tennessee, a 25.5, 26-point favorite. They fumbled away an early possession. They get down 7-0. Georgia State has a nice drive to get it 14-14. But, boy, in the second half, I think that's what just has everybody shocked. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt all year has talked about having the best staff in America. They were outplayed, outcoached, out everything in those final 30 minutes.
Yeah, you just don't know in college football anymore what's going to happen. I mean, it's happened to me on some games inexplicably, the way the other teams moved the ball, and particularly the way they moved it on the balls in the second half. You know, Ball scored 30 points if you had that last touchdown at the end, but you know, I just think overall it's just a very difficult loss to get your season started when you had pretty high expectations.
Well, and that's what I was going to get to. I mean, your very first game at Georgia was a disappointing 11-7 loss to Southern Miss. But it was your very first game. By your second year, you had a 10-win team that knocked off Steve Spurrier in Florida when they had it rolling. I mean, and it's not just Tennessee. You had a lot of second-year coaches. I mean, we're used to Saban and Kirby, and you did it. I mean, you showed noticeable improvement with that second team, and there were a whole bunch of second-year coaches across the country. You know, Taggart losing to Boise State after having a big lead. Even Chad Morris at Arkansas barely beating Portland State. I mean, there were a lot of second-year coaches that had very disappointing starts last weekend.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times it's the kind of players you inherit. You know, I think certainly the cover is bare up at Tennessee. And you know, I don't know how bad it was at down there at Tallahassee, but Arkansas, I just think they're going to have a hard time for a long time there, you know, making any kind of change around there. But, you know, realistically, you should make some improvement. You know the players better. You know the staff knows you. And it's just not fair for me to sit around and critique these coaches too much when I'm not around them. But that was definitely something that surprised the whole football world for Georgia State, a team that only won two games a year before. I tell you, the game that shocked me more than that was just the way South Carolina played. I thought South Carolina had a good football team, and, you know, North Carolina's only won two games. And for them to lose like they did, particularly in the fourth quarter with two 90-yard marches on them, was just a terrible loss for Muschamp. And now he's lost his quarterback on top of that.
And of course, South Carolina, Will Muschamp has spent the entire offseason saying, this is my best team that I've had here, kind of like Pruitt spending the offseason saying, we've got the best staff in America. I'm curious, after an opening game, and like I said, I know you had a disappointing one your very first game against Southern Miss, when you've got an entire season to go, How do you handle the players? I think a lot of Tennessee fans are like, Pruitt needs the fire and brimstone. I mean, Pruitt didn't show enough emotion. I mean, Sean Elliott was the coach showing all the emotion on the sidelines the other day. How do you handle the players? Do you get after them right away, or when you've got such a long season to go?
Yeah, I think emotion's overrated as far as, you know, you just got to be yourself, and you got to understand that, hey, you're going to have some days when you don't perform as well, and when you're not as talented, that's when you see these upsets happen, that when a team is close to being as talented as you, makes all the plays. I think the shock of the whole situation is just what, you know, you can't believe this is happening to us, but you got a plan, you're going to stick with your plan, and you can't worry about what the fans are saying, even though that's probably something everybody knows about, the fact that everybody's so down on them, but you just got to realize that, hey, this is another week, and it's us mentality against the world, and we've just got to rectify these mistakes. I was just overall watching the tape. I was really shocked at the lack of effort there in the fourth quarter. It just seemed like they couldn't get to the ball, and Georgia State just made every play that was there.
All right, of course, the big game from Saturday night, Auburn coming back to knock off Oregon. I don't know if you had switched your channel from the Georgia Vandy at that point, since Georgia had things in control. Curious what you thought about Bo Nix and just how that game transpired.
Well, you got to realize when you have an old coach on your show that you got to be multi-talented. So I've got the ability to watch more than one game at a time in my man cave down here. So I was watching – not really. I was watching Auburn at the same time. It's something that I had to do when I got – my two co-hosts are Auburn guys. I got to be able to answer some questions about Auburn, even though I really don't want to. But the reality is, very poor coaching by Oregon. I mean, you got that game in hand. Your head in the third quarter. You got all these time management functions going the wrong way for them. And that was just a remarkable victory for Auburn, but there's no way they should have won the game based on the first three and a half quarters. But you give them credit, you give Nix credit, you give Malzahn credit, and, hey, sometimes you steal one. They definitely stole that game, and you got to give them credit. Their defense hung in there, and I tell you, Steele doesn't get enough credit for the job he does week in and week out down there with that football team. I think they just kept them in position because, you know, it could have been a runaway game there in the third quarter.
You're listening to Jim Don in the College Football Hall of Famer, our weekly segment here on Press Row, brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga.
All right, Coach, I'm going to put you in a difficult position here. One, we know how much you like to make fun
David's
of Auburn.
David's already put me in a difficult
position. No. You got another one coming.
No, David is talking about my game, the first game I lost. He's brought it up twice. I mean, come on. How many times can he talk about us losing to Southern Miss? That was one of the worst coaching jobs I've ever done, that's for sure. Go ahead. Put me on the spot, man.
All right. if you want me to go even deeper, I'll ask you about cramps. But I don't want to get you
cramps
mad at
were,
me.
Cramps were in a winning situation. So that was good.
All right, Coach, I know how much you love to make fun of Auburn, but I also know how much you defend our questions about critical coaching. Let me ask you, I know Auburn won the game, so it ended up not mattering. How in the world does Gus Malzahn not go for two on the last touchdown, and should that be a bigger deal?
You know, it would have been a deal if they'd end up losing, but I think he was in the situation of trying to you know, maybe get on that kid for getting a penalty for spiking the ball or something. But you got to have people on the sideline that are on top of that. It's not just Gus Malzahn. I mean, you say that prior to the series, hey, if we score, we need to go for two.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about that the whole time. You're always and somebody let him down on that. I mean, it's the head coach's situation to know that, but you hate to lose. You would hate to have lost the game because of that inability. But it's a good learning situation, and from now on, you know, they'll do a better job with it. But that's one that all of us have to stay on top of, game management. And, you know, the guy on the other sideline just did a terrifically bad job of managing the clock, and he did the same thing against Stanford last year when he didn't punt the ball, tried to run for fourth down. and could have knelt on taking a knee and take 35. And I think Mario Cristobal is a good coach, but you know they've lost some games they should have won the last couple of years.
Coach, is it a testament to how hungry you live in Athens, you're very close to the Georgia program. It was it may have been the image of the weekend about how red Nashville was for a conference game on the season opener. I mean, this fan base is starving for this for Kirby and that group to take the next step, right?
Yeah, I think from day one, Kirby, the first night he was introduced at basketball game, he asked them to sell out the stadium for the first spring game, and they got 93,000 in there. And you know, you're kind of at the mercy of what the head coach wants, and that they did that at Notre Dame. And you know, you had an easy trip to Nashville from here, and it's a good lot of side effects up there they can do. People can go a lot of different places, and it was just impressive to see all those people there. And you know, when the home team's got to use a silent count at home, you know something's wrong as far as the home field advantage. But and I thought our team played really well early and then kind of lost the interest a little bit, then missed a couple chances there in the fourth quarter to score. But realistically, he's created a monster down here as far as expectations. Now they got to beat it. And I think the talent's there to really have a big year, and particularly looking at the rest of the East now. And you know, realistically, those teams aren't going to trade for any players between now and when we play them. So, you know, we got a really good shot at running the table and getting back to play Alabama again.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, our weekly segment brought to you by Key of Chattanooga. Coach, last week you said it. You did not expect Alabama or Georgia to show much, and really they just kind of methodically went out and just pounded a team they were supposed to.
Yeah, I think in the case of Alabama, you know, that was the first game, from a big – we saw Clemson kind of mess around in the first half and had some turnovers. And Alabama, the same thing. I think Duke kind of caught them off guard with, you know, running that option stuff early, and then they had a turnover early. But the fact that they had four or five guys that were suspended in the first half and didn't play on top of all the – guys that they lost from last year, plus the two starters on defense, it's just hard to be a well-oiled machine there, you know, and look as good as you need to. As far as Georgia, they started out like a house of fire, and it looks like, you know, we've had a tough injury here to Isaiah Wilson at right tackle, so Cade Mays from up there in Knoxville who started at guard will move out to tackle, and then it probably put Ben Cleveland in at guard. But I think both these teams showed, along with Clemson, Oklahoma, LSU, Ohio State, Michigan, these are teams that are, you know, just got better players than most of the teams they're going to play.
You touched on the East for a second, a 2-4 weekend. We've talked about Tennessee. We talked about South Carolina. The year before, you were offensive coordinator on Oklahoma's national championship team in 1985. You were coaching at Missouri. That one was a weird one, too. Not everybody pays attention to the scores coming out of Wyoming, but that one was just – how much do you keep up with them? And that's got to rank up there with just about as big of a shock this past weekend.
Yeah, I got some – I got a couple of my players are on the staff out there, and then I got another guy that coached for me at Marshall that's an analyst for them, Tony Peterson, and they turned the ball over twice for touchdowns. The other team scored, you know, when they gave them some. And that's always tough when your defense isn't that great. And you know, that's a tough place to play. I mean, you go out there and you got to take enough clothes in case you have the winter storm or something. I mean, you never know what it's going to do out there. I don't know what the weather was for the game, but I just feel like Missouri's schedule certainly set up for them to have a great year. Still might have one because West Virginia doesn't have a whole lot of players, but I don't know. That's very disappointing for them to lose to the Cowboys, and particularly the way they lost.
A big picture question for what we just saw this past weekend. I mean, Jalen Hurts in 2016 was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year as a freshman. We all know what Jake Fromm did in 2017 as a freshman leading Georgia. Trevor Lawrence last year with Clemson. I mean, this weekend you saw Bo Nix at Auburn. You saw Sam Howell at UNC. You saw the Bachmeyer kid at Boise State. How much more comfortable are freshmen, quarterbacks now, and how much it just seems like we're seeing this a lot more than maybe when you first got to Georgia.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's kind of a trend, but sometimes it happens with this transfer portal. You end up with not as many quarterbacks as you need, and then it's easier for a guy to step in and play early. And but I've always been high on Hurts. I think he, 26-2 in the SEC. I mean, he's a tremendous guy, and he just fits right in with that Oklahoma offense. I don't think he can run the ball quite as much as he did Saturday and stay healthy all year. I mean, they played on Sunday, my fault. But I just think, Bo Nix had a good, solid game, but, he's got a ways to go. I mean, but he doesn't really have to do a whole lot if that defense keeps playing like that. But they're going to get tested by Tulane now. They got a good transfer quarterback, and I think Tulane will come in there and give them all they want.
Why would you say, if I had to ask, why does it seem that freshman quarterbacks you're seeing so many look so comfortable so early compared to maybe a generation ago? Why would you say that is?
Well, like my English teacher said in high school, if you want me to elucidate so you can comprehend so you won't be too bombastic or flamboyant, I will tell you. The quarterback situation is such now where all these kids get trained so much better coming out of all these camps. They got these quarterback trainers all over the world. You know, if you played quarterback, even if you couldn't play dead in a Western movie, you can go out and be a quarterback whisperer and then go out and train these guys. And some of them are really good. Some of them aren't very good. They just take your money. But the whole point is kids really know a whole lot more about reading defenses, how to operate these different offenses, how to run the club, study and tape. They're just a lot more prepared. But, I've had some freshman quarterbacks back in the day, though. I mean, Jamel Holloway at Oklahoma, Marlon Adler was a great freshman quarterback for me at Missouri. Todd Donna played for me at Marshall. I mean, you can go on, Chad Pennington. So if a guy's good enough, he can play. Here's the thing, man. You don't want a kamikaze pilot that's flown 50 missions. He's got good experience, but he can't do the job.
All right, when we come back, LSU, Texas, Clemson, Texas A&M, a bunch of big games to get to this weekend. When we continue with the college football, he may have one. We'll definitely get a visit with Donnan's picks in our segment by Kia of Chattanooga. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Thank you, Tennessee, for making Kia of Chattanooga the number one Kia dealer in the state. To show our gratitude, we'll continue to give everyone $5,000 minimum for any trade.
You could be driving a Kia. Oh, yes, you could. Kia of Chattanooga.
It's our summer clearance event at Kia of Chattanooga. Push, pull, or tow in any trade, in any condition, running or not. And we'll give you $5,000 minimum for your old car towards the purchase of a new Kia. Select new Kias with 0% APR financing for 75 months. That's right, interest-free financing for 75 months. Plus, if you've got a job and bring home at least $450 per week, our lenders can get you approved. Trade-in not in combination with any other offer. $1,333 per month for 1,000 borrowed at 0 APR for 75 months with 0 down. Expires month end.
Kia of Chattanooga. Oh, yes, you could.
Push, pull, or tow in any trade and get $5,000 minimum for your old car at Kia of Chattanooga, 153 in Shelliford Road. Call 423-855-1022 or kiaofchattanooga.com.
Over the mountain, across the sea, there's a girl.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie playing the oldies for the never-to-age Jim Donnan. Coach, you're just what, 55?
Yeah, I wish I was, but I'm going to tell you this now. If anybody that's my age doesn't like that song, they need to really check their engine. Because I'm going to tell you what, Johnny and Joe over the mountain, I mean, that is stronger than three rows of wild onions.
All right, welcome back into the second of two segments. Our weekly fun with Jim Donnan brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga, 2136 Chapman Road. Fantastic selection, fantastic looking automobiles. All right, this is the segment where we preview the games this week, and the biggest one, LSU, Texas in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a battle of the contracts. I mean, you know, Herman was going to take that LSU job, and then he kind of bioded it, you know, got it going in there to the and got Texas because it opened up on Friday. Right after Thanksgiving, and he's done a good job there. He's been really good on these underdog games, too. He's like 10-2-1 when he's an underdog there at Texas. And so I think they got a good team. But I tell you, LSU really impresses me. I like what they're doing with Joe Burrow. I'll be surprised if they don't win this game.
I like LSU as well. I think they got a motivated defense. I think, you know, Texas got the win over Georgia, but Georgia didn't have DeAndre Baker, didn't have Jordan Davis. It was just, I don't think it was a motivated Georgia team. What about Clemson, Texas A&M? Do you like Clemson big in this one?
You know, I think Clemson's helped himself a little bit last week by not playing great. It kind of shook them up a little bit. I look for them to come back out and really get after this Texas A&M team, although I really like Mon, the quarterback. There's a lot of people like to have him for the ones playing for A&M. I don't know that their running game's good enough. I really am thinking right now, you know, when you look at this defense for Clemson, it doesn't look near as dominating, so there's going to be a lot of points scored there, but I think Clemson will win. I don't know if they can hit that number as far as 17.5, but I wouldn't pick that one. Because you just never know in a game like this. Jimbo Fisher, for some reason, has got a really good record there in Death Valley. He knows how to come in there and pull off the upset.
All right, a lot of people want to know, 90 minutes up the road after what transpired last Saturday, does Tennessee get it, put it back together? And how big of a game do you think this is for Pruitt and that staff?
Well, it's a game that, you know, certainly you want to win, but you got to look a lot better. You know what I mean? As far as organization, everything about it, they just got to – and it's going to be tough because, you know, BYU's got those guys, very, you know, experienced team. Those guys have been on those Mormon missions, and they're an older team. And, you know, they look – you know, they're big, strong, physical guys. They just hadn't – they didn't look very good offensively against Utah last week. It's a game – where you expect Tennessee to win from the standpoint of the home crowd and all that, but you just don't know about the crowd. I mean, what's the over-under on the crowd? Over-under 70? What do you think they'll have there?
Oh, I think BYU's going to bring a ton. So I don't think that attendance will be an issue. The problem is it's going to be a whole lot of BYU fans.
You think those BYU fans are going to go to Dollywood?
Hey, I'll be honest with you, Coach. I covered a 1998 BYU-Alabama game at Bryant-Denny and walked in that press box and could not believe the sea of blue. I mean, it is a big deal.
That's
for
amazing.
BYU.
That's yeah. Amazing. That's good. I'm glad they're backing them. I guess they can – I mean, hey, that's – I tell you, Lavelle Edwards was a heck of a coach, and I always had a lot of respect for him. He really built that program and did a tremendous job.
Well, and Coach, you know they got to buy the tickets. I mean, you got the dad, you got three kids, and you got four wives. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of ticket demand on that.
So he takes a lot of rooms too.
All right, Coach, you hinted at this, and it's one of my picks on my list. I love Tulane plus the 18. I think this is such an automatic, typical Auburn letdown game that they'll win by 10 if it's not closer than that. And Tulane looked great last weekend. I just – everybody's slapping Bo Nix on the back. Everybody's talking about – and honestly, Auburn played good for about 5 minutes. Auburn better mind their P's and Q's or Tulane could shock them, right?
Yeah, I think they could, not just because of the fact it's a letdown game, but realistically, Tulane's built that program up. This guy's done a good job. I mean, he did a good job at Georgia Southern. He started out at Pittsburgh State and did well there. I mean, he knows how to coach. And they got a transfer quarterback, like I mentioned in the first section, from LSU that's, you know, very gifted. So, but, you know, Auburn's looking down the barrel. Every game's going to be life or death for them, except a couple this year, because they're just not that talented on offense. Defensively, they're pretty good, but, I mean, you're looking at A&M game, the Florida game, the Georgia game, the Bama game. I mean, they're going to really fight hard to win eight games. I hope they can, because you know, if they can get through this year with the young talent they got, they'll be moving, you know, in the right direction.
All right, last week you won with Memphis, you won with Georgia, you won with Boise State. UCLA didn't do you any favors. Ohio State came up short in covering. And then my penmanship's so bad, I don't know if you had Arkansas State or Arizona State, but I think either one, whichever one you had had there, I think came up empty too. But
yeah, I had the over in the Arkansas State game. That was why I won. 37-30. They were
okay.
Over.
So that one won. So you were 4-2. So good start to the week. Good start to the year, I should say. What do you like this week?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games anybody could pick and be wrong or right, you know. But my big steam game this week is Texas State hosting the Wyoming Cowboys. I like Wyoming going there, beat them -6.5. I like Syracuse and Maryland going over. And in the pillow fight of the week, might be the pillow fight that they could get a commercial from that guy from My Pillow to sponsor it. It's Ole Miss over Arkansas. I like Ole Miss to win, and it might just be 7-0. I mean, it's going to be an ugly game.
I agree. I like the Rebels in that one as well. I love it. Now, how does a steam pick compare to a condo?
Steam means it's on fire. But condo means that you're going to put a lot on it. But steam just means it's on fire, and you feel good about it. I mean, I feel good. Both of you guys think that the Cowboys will get in there and get after Texas State?
Unless they have the same problem Auburn might, coming down from a big W.
Yeah, the last time Texas State won, Davy Crockett was at the Alamo, I think. I mean, it's been a long time. They had a terrible 3 years.
Coach, the state of Texas lost at the Alamo.
That's right. But Texas, I mean, you don't have to give me any history lessons, man.
Coach, great stuff.
Guys are terrible. Just because I didn't go to Auburn doesn't mean I never went to the library.
Hey, that same year, hey, I'll bring it up one more time, but that same year you lost to Southern Miss, you got carried off the field at Auburn.
Yeah, that's true. That's 3 times now, maybe 4. You mentioned that Southern Miss. And hey, that's pretty good, though. I like it because, hey, after that game, I really had to have a complete look in the mirror saying, what in the world are you doing? I mean, we looked like we hadn't even practiced. It was so bad. But sometimes those things happen, but, you know, just got to hang in there. And I really think Tennessee's going to win next week, probably, for sure.
Yeah, that's going out on a limb against the Mighty Mocs. Well, Coach, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Great job again. 2 for 2 with some dazzling knowledge, and we really appreciate you and Kia of Chattanooga.
I appreciate Kia of doing all they're doing. I mean, this is a big year for them. I mean, they're getting ready with these new bottles coming in, and Tad Butch will take care of you. Go out there. He'll give you a good deal.
Sounds great. Enjoy the weekend, Coach. Jim Donnan, the College Thanks. Football Hall of Famer, joining us on Press Row. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to ESPN 105.1 The Zone.